Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show, and this is Diva Discussions. And today I have confidence therapist, authentic dating strategist, and image expert Kimmy Seltzer here today. Kimmy, how are you?
I am good now. Now that we're talking, we had like this energetic force amongst us before we hopped on. And I love it. It's like perfect for our discussion.
Well, I love that you just said, I am fine now. Because I think when we pay attention to our words, thoughts, and actions, I like to talk about moments of now. And there's a series of how we're in flow or not in flow. And so welcome to the show. We had a little bit of tech snafu, but you and I were like, the show must go on.
I know. And I love that we both saw it as just powerful energy that needed to happen before our powerful show. That's what it was. It was too much for the computers. Yes.
I've had that happen all the time when I'm like, oh my God, it must be this exciting, powerful, kind soul I'm about to meet. Okay, that's when my computer crashed.
Yeah. I love the reframe.
Yeah. So pay attention, everyone. And so I'm all about gratitude. It's one of my secret sauces. Mm. And I want to give a shout out to Trent Clark. You and I met because we were fortunate. I've had Trent on my show, and I'll put a link into who Trent is at the bottom of the show notes. But Trent was here visiting, and he's a part of your organization. And I got to meet you, and that you guys were like my first outing of 2022.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. And you know, it's the power of networking too. And especially, yeah, like to your point, coming out of this phase that we've all been in, this reclusive phase, which I think was important and introspective. And, you know, meeting people out and about is such an important muscle to exercise right now. So I love that we met that way too.
Yeah. And also first of all, it's an honor to meet you. And I'd love for people just to hear a little bit about like who you are.
Oh, yes. Well, where should we begin? I have a story.
Well, tell a story. And also, by the way, one of my themes, which I love, I declare themes. And three of my themes for this year for all my different series and my life in general is self-care is the new cool.
Love it.
Deep play. And I saw cursive writing with deep when I was waking up from a dream, and it was divine, exquisite, ethereal peace. So deep play, deep reverence, deep this, deep thought, and then also love all kinds. So to me, when you told me about your upcoming workshop, which I want you to talk about, I'm like, oh my God, I get to play today with Kimmy. So I just want you to know how excited I get to meet someone. And it's just an honor. So maybe you could tell us, you want to tell us what you're up to or your progression and like who you are in the universe?
Yeah. I mean, and likewise, and I love that word, deep, and like deep play is what kind of comes.
Isn't it fun? Because we all want to play,
sexy.
Right? Yeah. Like, I want to deep play with you. It's like a flirt. Let's play. you can play with your friends, right? No, yeah. Oh gosh, if you could see the cute outfit I have on, and this is audio only, but I even like dress for fun.
Oh my God. Well, and that's part of, you know, my passion, and it is a good segue of, you know, what I'm about and what I do. And I mean, I honestly would be amiss if I didn't share my story and how I got here today, because while, you know, being the professional title of a confidence therapist, an image expert, and an authentic dating strategist all sounds fine and dandy, I don't think I would be as passionate about doing what I do without, you know, my own transformation, my own story, and why I'm so passionate about doing this. You know, I used to be a therapist, and I know we're in a similar world, right? And I practice in a very traditional sense. I'm from Chicago.
What?
Yes.
What part of Chicago are you from?
Well, I grew up in Northbrook. Do you know where that is?
I grew up in Schaumburg, Illinois.
Wait, what?
No. Yeah. We're big Midwestern girls.
Oh, that's where we bonded. I love it. My mom lives in Schaumburg right now. How funny.
My mom does too. Weathersfield Way, still there.
Oh my God. But I only will go back. I mean, we're both in LA now. I will only go back in the months between May and maybe October. Like only if it's okay. Cause I can't handle the cold anymore. I have like PTSD when I think about snow and cold. Like I honestly do.
I know, but the people are so kind. It's so what you see is what you get. So I'm interested. So keep telling us about your story. You grew up in the Midwest.
Okay, so you'll totally get this. And, you know, I had the very traditional Midwest story happening, right? So I, at the time, this was years ago, I practiced as a therapist. And in many senses, I actually worked in the hospitals for a while, did psychiatric work and with children and families. I worked in the school systems. Then I did, you know, marriage and family. I did it all, and probably like you. And everything in my life was going as planned. I had the husband, the picket fence, eventually the kids, the dog. I still have the kids, by the way, but you see where the story's going.
Oh, I've got a similar story.
Oh my God, we're going to share. Oh yeah. It probably like relates to what we both do. So we pick up as a family and we move across the country. We plop here down in La La Land, LA. And we do what all the other people here do. We get a divorce. I'm joking. Obviously, like there are issues, right?
It's in style to get divorces in LA.
I mean, I like to blame LA, but the truth of the matter is we probably would have gotten here, you know, in the end, in the same way.
I have a theory. Can I just sort of say, I feel like the institution, by the way, I absolutely believe in love. I believe in family. I believe in marriage. I believe in untraditional marriages. I believe in life partnerships. But my theory is that when the institution of marriage was created, people barely, like they were happy to live till 40. And so I feel like we're really blessed if we can, whatever age it is, find love and we have like a 1+1 is infinite. Cause I feel like the word divorce for me used to feel like a failure, but now it looks at like an act of self-love. So I just want to kind of hear your thoughts, but I just look at things in such a unique way.
I love that a lot. And I have a similar theory. And, you know, I mean, it relates to my story because I think you go through phases in your life and you see your life as one way. It's a perspective, right? And it's not until things are, shaken up a little bit, turned upside down, crumpled up and thrown out the window when you're like, oh, okay. So there's a new chapter in my life. And that's where I landed. I landed in LA with a new chapter of my book. And I, quite honestly, in full disclosure, I did not know what I was going to do in my new life. I went through a very dark period and, you know, it was almost like the record stopped in the traditional life that I knew. And there was no way, you can relate to this, there was no way, shape, or form I was going to be able to help anybody else because I couldn't even help myself or get out of my own way, right? And I didn't want to practice therapy any longer. I didn't want to help anybody. If anyone were to come to me in that moment of time, I would have said, you have issues? Let me go on the couch for a second because I'm nowhere. But here's the thing that was really interesting to my story, and it relates to how I practice today, is up until that point, I used to believe that you had to work from the inside out. In a traditional sense, I thought you had to do the inner work in order to shift, to change, to get to the other side. Well, guess what? I tried all that in that moment. I had therapy. I had counseling. I had a great support system. I still couldn't get out of my own way. And when I looked in the mirror, I hated what I saw. So at that moment, I looked in the mirror and I was the frumpy mom with ginormous black clothes, maybe a splash of beige. And I even had the nursing bra still on. I wasn't nursing any longer. Oh, no. Can you picture it?
I feel like I wish I had a horn that's like, red alert, red alert, 911, step away from the nursing bra.
Talk about not sexy, right? And also,
I have a confession. Can I be a little bit sassy? I am literally wearing purple lingerie and have a cute necklace on doing this interview because I wanted to get in the moment of flirting and play. And I wanted to tell you that's how much I embrace the moment of now. Okay, keep going. So I understand I did do frumpy. So that's like gone. Frumpy's gone. Bye, frumpy. Well,
and what you're exemplifying right now as you're talking in this purple lingerie is that what you wear impacts how you feel. And I didn't really see the importance of that at that time when I was in my dark period and my clothes really reflected that. And so nothing was working and I was still going down that dark path. And I'll never forget that moment when everything switched. I woke
up. Aha moment.
It was my aha moment. Well, there were kind of like two phases of the aha. So the first aha was when I woke up and I took a hard look in the mirror and I was just horrified. I was like, oh my God, what happened to me? Like, what did I become? And I was so fed up, and that's usually when people change, that I threw everything up in the air and I said, I'm going shopping. I'm sick of this. Right? Like, I just wanted to get new clothes. And so
I go, by the way, I'm in the moment of that aha for you because I can travel back through time. Uh-huh. And I just, for anyone that's listening, like when we have our aha moments, like it's nice to go back and look at that big moment of self-love. And like, also like, I'm not having it anymore. I can do it this a different way. So I feel this like almost like chills of the spirit of you off to shop now. So take us on your shopping spree.
Yeah. So I'll take you with me. What happened in that shopping spree? And it's funny that you kind of describe it as this like divine intervention, because I truly felt,
I can feel the chills, just even the way my sensory awareness is. I'm getting lightning bolt chills of an unseen connection and the spirit of your self-love and self-care moment. It's amazing.
I love that. Yeah. Well, so I walk into the store and I'm like, I'm going to change, right? So what am I doing? I'm pulling all the same black clothes again, but no, I think I'm up-leveling myself because it's new, but they were still three sizes too big. They were all still black. And here's where the divine intervention happened. This angel came up to me. She was a personal shopper and she was watching me. And she says, ma'am, I've been watching you and I really think you should try on this. And she holds up this red dress that looked like three sizes too small. And I said, that's really sweet of you. But that's not my size. And that's so not my color. She says, honey, that is your size. That is your color. Try it on. Boom. You know, it was like she hit me over the head with that red dress.
Wow. And
when I came to.
Can I just say to you, I love mantras and I love words, and I'm getting chills of the try it on. It's like instead of like just do it, it's like try it on. So it's like a way to kind of hit reset when you're trying to change your thinking. So it was a huge try it on moment.
It is. I call it my red dress moment, actually. And it's one of the things that I market, that I tell people that everyone needs to have their red dress moment, whether you're a man or a woman. It's that aha moment where you get hit over the head with something that forces you to try on something different, right? And that is the action piece, because everything I knew, everything that I studied, everything that I helped people with had to do with things that were going on in the head. And what I didn't do was really pay attention to the action, the body, the visceral response that I was getting with those black clothes, right? And so I heard that message from that angel shop, personal shopper, so loud and clear. It was like a megaphone was in my ear.
Do we know her name? Do we know this angel's name?
I don't.
Okay, we'll just call her Angel. Thank you, Angel.
The red dress angel.
Red dress angel.
And so it's funny too, because sometimes in the universe, like there are messages that are sent to you, but you're not able to hear it at that time that it's received. Well, it was this moment that I really was able to be open to receiving. And I took the dress, I squeezed into it, I twirled around like Cinderella, and I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, bam, there she was. And it was almost like I didn't recognize myself. There was something that just completely shifted in my body, looking at myself that way. And I realized and recognized in that moment that, wow, like I haven't seen myself like this in so long. I needed to see it in order to believe of something different.
You know, I just got right when at that moment, I just got, I have arrived, exclamation. So keep going.
Yeah. It was very powerful. And, you know, a lot of people, when they hear what I do, and I do, like, obviously, since my moments, this is what I help people with. the style piece sounds airy-fairy. It sounds like superficial, but I'm here to tell you that it's an important part of the process, especially as you're getting out there and dating and feeling your sexy confidence. So what happened is I bought that dress as a costume, and I called it a costume because, quite honestly, in that moment, I didn't really totally believe it. I knew I needed to marinate in that image to really start like becoming that. So I walked out into the world and all this magic started happening that you read in my bio. And it's, of course, like new suitors began to come my way. And here's the kicker. I recognized that I don't know if I even liked the fact that they were looking at me. And
so glad you said that. Yes. So keep going.
Yes. And it was.
Because I'm strategically single. So, but I just want to keep hearing your story.
Yeah. Well, right. And we can talk about like those different kinds of relationships. And since then, and since my journey, obviously things have shifted as well. And the thing that was interesting is that I realized in those moments that there was this symbiotic relationship between the outer and the inner when it comes to confidence, when it comes to like recognizing your fears. And that's what hit me, is that I was fearing being seen. It was super triggering. It was super scary. And having that red dress was like a stoplight, a stop sign for these alien men to talk to me. And I'm like, now what? Okay, I got their attention. Now what? And right. So the black clothes really was a black cloak to keep right. me invisible.
Right.
And wow. So that's when everything flipped, you know, and in ways that I saw things and the way that I practice. And so now, fast forward, instead of working from the inside out, I actually work from the outside in, and I use my kind of signature formula called the Charisma Quotient, which is my podcast, ironically, and it's the formula in which I start from the outside by raising people's style intelligence. And not only does that include, you know, the what you wear, but it's also your energy, it's your body language, it's your charisma, it's how you move, it's your presentation, which is so important. To me, it's like the quickest way into somebody's inner. And then after that, the second pillar is really working on people's emotional intelligence, right? How we express ourselves, the authenticity, the vulnerability, how we really connect. And then the third pillar is your social intelligence, which is how we manage interpersonal communication. And yes, that includes flirting, which obviously is a big part of my practice. So that's my story. That's how I'm sticking to it. I've had many stories since, but you get
that's an amazing story. And I think one of the kind of themes for all of us and all the different topics I have, and you can relate for all your experience pre this part of your life, is that when we go into our suffering, that's when there's infinite energy for change.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you had this aha red dress moment, and then you were starting to match the feeling of how you looked on the outside, but you kind of, it took some time to step in into your body. I think a lot of times when we're dating, or whether it's a job or a situation, sometimes our intellectual pursuits don't match how we're dressing or how we're feeling. So I feel like the other thing you're talking about, this charisma quotient, is like a divine resonance with multiple dimensions of who you are, to be at the top of your game, to attract a life partner, to flirt at your best.
Absolutely. It's really your marketing, because a lot of times people will come to me like, oh, I've done all this work on myself. I don't know why things aren't happening. And what I say to people, you know, it's this stuff isn't about changing who you are. It's about marketing yourself so that someone gets to know who you are. And if you're not putting yourself out there, there might be opportunity and people passing you by. I have a quick story around that. There's this, it still gives me chills when I talk about it. Mm-hmm. There's a woman that called me, and you know, I do a lot of virtual coaching, and she said, look, I've scoured the city. I've been online. I know everybody. I take the same route to work every day. I don't see any guys. There's no one here for me. I don't know how I'm going to find love. And I said, I believe you. She's like, what? I said, I believe that what you are seeing is true.
Right. So you were validating the perception.
100%. And by the way, like for those of you listening who have tried all these things, I believe you that what you're trying is what you're getting, right? And so, and what I tell people all the time, we can't change what's around us, but what we can do, and to me, this is where the power comes. we can do things about ourselves that are different to create a new reality, a different result. And that's the power. And so I told her, I said, look, I just want you to do me a favor. She hired me. And I said, I'm just going to give you one task before our first call. I said, I want you to take the same route to work. And I want you to take the blinders off. And I just want you to look around and just notice who's noticing you. That's it. Just do me a favor. Just do that for the next week. She comes back a week later and she says, Kim, do you have a voodoo doll? I said, no, I'm not that powerful, but you are. What happened? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I did what you said. You know, I went to work, same route, and I see this really handsome gentleman and he's sitting on a bench. And I see him looking at me and I looked at him back and suddenly we're talking and suddenly he asked for my number. And Kimmy, I already went on a date with him. That guy ended up being her boyfriend long term.
Oh, I love it. So that's a big tip, everyone, awareness and pay attention.
And it was her energy, right? So it's to your point, like what we were talking about with how we move energetically, which is what charisma is. It's a magnetic energy that draws people to you. If she hadn't created that for herself, she would have passed that opportunity by. She wouldn't have taken or absorbed that in. So what happened is she put on a different pair of glasses. I call it the dating matrix. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're in the same world, but you have a different, you know, vision of what that is.
Correct. I love it. So because you and I didn't get a chance to talk in person, this is our first time knowing one another. We have so much alignment in so many ways, and I think we'll probably be doing more than one show. I'm excited. But I wanted to tell you that some of the themes that I've done and produced are shows on sacred sexuality, consensuality. I also was really fortunate. One of my dear friends did a cookbook called Clean Eating and Dirty Sex. And so I was a co-host of that. And I did that right when I was newly amicably divorced. And I, you know, when you're talking about the charisma quotient, I didn't even know I was going to do this on air. I went, rare. What's the rare factor?
Rare. Were you wearing the cat suit while you were doing
it? Well, I felt like it wasn't. I was just like, well, actually I was on a really fun trip. So I had extra rare, but I actually want to tell you, I think it's so interesting that we're talking now at a time when I know that when we're trying to get out there and date, we haven't in the last 2 years. Can we do a deep dive on what's happened to societal dating and like what you're seeing in trends and using apps and now that people are starting to get back out? Because for me personally, my core group, like I met the best date of 2021 was when I made the strategic decision to go to a charity event alone. I could have brought someone that was very handsome, but he and I didn't have long-term potential with him. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to show up with my own charisma and my own desire to really promote and be there for this event and for my friend. So I didn't go there with the dating matrix glasses on, but I ended up with the hottest date of 2021.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
And I can't say too much more because it's kind of a high profile situation. Because I was giving out the energy of my excitement towards mental health and mental wellness. And I was like, I'm not going to say so I gave him my link to my press kit thinking we could do shows together, but little did I know he wanted to date me.
Oh my God.
So I go into these situations sometimes too nerdy and like, by the way, I had a very like rant outfit on. So it wasn't like I was all buttoned up like a schoolgirl. I had like the appropriate like outfit for the event. But
so important, by the way.
So I was going to tell you, I went with a playful attitude. I went with a giving attitude. I was already swimming that day and tuning into my friend and honoring what the event was about. So I went with this pure love energy. And I think that's what I then attracted, that pureness. Mm. But I wanted to tell you that it got so sad for me because we were at different places of what we would want dating. And I still think that that person, you know, you have people on the shelves for later. But I find as a woman who is bridging science, spirituality, and wellness, I find that I attract more people in person at these events where people are doing great things. And so I feel a little bit like I have a lot of experience with online dating too, but really strategic. And I find for me personally, I'm excited for society to open up more so I could go to more events where people are more of interest and what I'm an interest, because it's a little tricky on those dating apps. So could you just comment a little bit on some of the topics I touched and doing my own personal share?
Oh my God, there's so many like layers on what you just shared and things that are coming up for me. So first of all, I love that story. And it's something that I talk about a lot. Like, you know, as you alluded, I have this flirt workshop coming up February 11th. And one of the things that I talk about is that, you know, flirting isn't necessarily what a lot of people think. You know, sometimes people put highly sexualized, you know, behaviors on flirting and what, you know, and that's what we kind of flush out at the workshop. But when you look at the definition of flirting, it's fascinating in the dictionary. It's to behave as though you are attracted to someone without the serious intentions of an outcome.
Now well, that's exactly what I was doing.
Bingo. Exactly. Okay. Right.
Oh my God. Like not even just a little bit. I was like, I mean, we were so in alignment. So and go ahead.
Yeah, because that last part, not getting attached to the outcome, is really what flirting's about. And the reason why people don't flirt is because they're getting attached to the outcome, right? And I've heard every excuse under the sun. You know, I'm not attracted to them, or I don't want to get them the wrong impression, blah, blah, blah. And that's one of the things that we talk about. But your energy was so present, you just kind of went with this open mind, right? And you were up for anything kind of thing. And you even like, you know, I love when people just, you know, step out and go out by themselves and, you know, have a little courage to meet people. I mean, that's how you and I met that one night. I mean,
yes,
you have yes. to stretch yourself, right? You have to get uncomfortable because staying in your cocoon, in your comfort zone, as relates to your second part of like, how do people meet people, you know, that people don't shift or change. So if your love life is plateauing and not moving, that means you got to shake it up and do a pattern disruption, right? Like if, I don't know if you're familiar with NLP, neuro-linguistic yes. programming, right? It's like do something different that shakes things up. And although that might be uncomfortable, it's probably where you need to be. And so I just wanted to highlight that as you were talking about that story and the opportunity that came out of that.
Well, but can I give you a shake it up part of it that's an alliance with you?
Yeah.
I was getting so sad. I'm a single mom and I do telehealth. I was just getting sad because I miss people. But I'm really engaging. Like I did all my shows. I swim 6 days a week. Everything's thriving. Like it was like a renaissance time for me during this pandemic. But then I saw this picture of myself on a Cabo trip back in 2012 when it was 70s night. And I was wearing this cute little piece outfit with these really sexy go-go boots. And I'm like, I am getting go-go boots now. I don't need go-go boots just for the Cabo trip. So I am not even kidding you. I turned it into my signature look for 2021. I have three different pairs of go-go boots and I wear them and I still know how to pull it together. But it gives me this happiness feeling of you can create your own happiness. So I try to do that with my jewelry I've designed, my hats that I just fun. Like I try to, because it's our job to make ourselves happy. And I believe when we're in that happy state, that's when we attract like watch and be amazed situations.
By the way, white go-go boots like came back in style, just so you know.
Oh,
like,
I've been wearing them since last year.
Oh my God.
Everywhere with my mini. I've got shiny white ones. I've got like matted white ones. I've got black ones. And then I even have love peace stickers. I'm going to turn one of my old pair of black ones into like peace just for fun.
See, this is so great. And you're exemplifying exactly what I'm saying in that when you change your clothes, when you have a costume, I call it like dating costumes, you actually change your energy and your performance. And this isn't something that I'm making up. There's been a ton of research done about this. In fact, there was a study done that was in the New York Times that talked about an experiment they did with people, and these guys put on white coats and said that they were doctors, even though they weren't, and they outperformed the ones who really were doctors without the coats. And
Oh
my God. And then they looked inside the brain, mm-hmm. and the brain chemistry actually shifted when people wore different things. And so there's a term called enclothed cognition, which talks about that our performance changes when we wear certain things. This is why I get so like jazzed and excited about.
Oh, I love it. Can I say, too? Ready?
Yep.
You're a universe geek too. So you love like the data. I say data is my boyfriend.
Oh my
God. So you love data. Like you love to go and be, but you love like you love the whole process, right? Of looking at someone. And by the way, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this.
What?
I have a word that I coined. I know there's a Paul Mitchell curling iron, but I didn't know that, called neurostyle. And it's that we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. And I presented this in India, and then there's the five pillars and then the sixth sense of intuition. And so I feel like what you're talking about with the your whole beautiful education as a therapist, your transformation and your own aha red dress moment, and then your ability to now help others transform is a really holistic health and wellness approach. And I love that I have the word neurostyle because it feels like I was thinking I was tuning in before I met you. I'm like, no, 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 no. I get to talk to Kimmy. I get to talk about. And so, so I want to get some of the links for our audience about this because it's very important to remember. And I live this. But then I also wanted you to comment on some of the things you might see with online dating, what you're seeing with the pandemic. And also for me, I'm finding that I did the show on agelessness and age is just a number. So when I was on the online apps, I put, oh, forget it. It doesn't matter. I couldn't believe it. It was an aha eye opening. I couldn't believe all the younger men that want to date older women. And I mean, that's been, you know, very like in vogue, but I know there's so much. I feel like we have like 3 to 5 other shows we can do. But maybe I know. You can just comment a little bit and we can then do deeper dives at other times.
Well, I just want to comment on the fact that I have to have data because being blonde hair and blue eyes in LA, I just have to have some legitimacy behind that.
I agree.
People have associations. So no, I want to say that really, and this is why I call myself a strategist more than a coach or a therapist these days, because I just think people need strategies. And that's what I loved about your story and what you're asking me about is because like there was strategy with what you're saying about like how you went out and now you're saying you're strategically single. And that's some of the trends that
I am strategically single. Can I define that really quickly?
Yes, please.
I know because I wrote in my journal that one of the reasons why I'm amicably divorced, I will love my ex-husband forever. But my ascension journey not only included the playful side, the doctor side, but included going to India, included remote viewing. It included being like at one with my own intuition and meeting with quantum physicists and just doing all this that really honored my soul. So my strategic single is defined by 1 + 1 = infinite. When it's the right time for me to attract someone that has that multidimensional vibrational frequency, I will know because I'm really blessed. I've already been in a relationship that was highly successful, highly sexual, highly respectful. I've been on some of the hottest dates in the last 4 years, but if it's not matching up with those 5 dimensions and 6, and I don't expect it to be perfect, but I need to know that there's potential for us to grow together. And so it doesn't mean I won't go on a fun date because I'm human. I have to go on some of these fun dates. And I love flirting, by the way. I flirt in the pool when I'm doing my walking meditations. Once I've done an actual audio call and I know it's time to add a little visual because men are visual, I have a whole strategy of like screening.
Oh, I love that. I want to see that in action.
Oh yeah, you can. We can just come and like walk in the pool together and we could do an Instagram live.
I know.
Saying, hey, no, I'm actually serious. I call the pool.
See that.
I call the pool my place. This is actually really, I know I was joking about flirting, but in all seriousness, for me, I reach my highest level of performance when I'm doing my moving meditations, my swimming, my prayer, my intentionality. So just like when someone wears a certain outfit to activate the parts of their brain, when I go to the pool, that's where all my creativity, my entrepreneurship, my physical fitness, and I even call it laps of love, where I devote laps to love and intention. So I think that, and now I'm going to go shh and have awareness to let you talk, because I feel like I get to listen to you and I'm like excited to learn from you and see like if any of this resonates with you.
Yeah. Like you said, we could do like 5,000 shows off of this. Like, but I always say that your dating portfolio should look like your financial portfolio. You need to diversify as much as possible to get the results. And all
I love
of the examples that you're talking about is speaking to that, because I think where the burnout happens, and this does bleed into some of the trends that we're seeing, is that, you know, just going online and not exercising your social muscle is not a good idea, right? Like we can get burnt out doing the same thing over and over again. And plus the strategy sometimes isn't there because you're just numbing out doing the same thing, not being intentional. And so I kind of have this three-prong approach in helping people find love and building out the dating portfolio by coming up with a dating plan, just like a business plan. Like, let's put things together and in place where, you know, statistically you're meeting more people. Because, you know, that is the problem with what happened in the pandemic. Well, just to speak to the trends a little bit, and I know we have to end soon, but.
No, I'm happy to. Like, yeah, please tell me about the trends.
Yeah. You know, I think that what happened is everything like turned upside down. We were going in a very, very fast pace. I think this is almost a metaphor to just what society was doing too. And everything came to a scratching halt. You know, like it was the apps and the way people were dating were so fast and it was getting faster and faster that nobody was really slowing down to connect. Yes. And so we just saw just a lot of superficial things happening. Then the ghosting surfaced more and more and people getting really burnt out and not really paying attention to what they wanted. And so when the pandemic hit, it forced people to really pull inward and take a hard look at, hey, what is it that I want? What is important to me? And so I almost saw like us going back in time in our grandparents' era where people actually had to court each other because no one could really physically meet at first. So people had to connect and slow down and actually talk to one another, yes. You know, and get to know. So I actually had, like yourself, I had beautiful relationships pop up with my clients because I was teaching them more about emotional intelligence and how to connect on an emotional level versus physical, because people were reliant too much on the physical and they weren't connecting on the emotional. So there was just this big shakeup that happened. And then, you know, now I think we're in a state of recalibration. Yes. So we're kind of seeing a little bit of everything. It's funny. I just got asked to do a quote in Huffington Post about this trend called hardballing. I don't know if you've heard.
I saw about that. So keep talking. I just read about that.
Like, it was so interesting because I've seen this in a couple of the younger clients that I had, but I didn't know there was an actual term for this. And basically what happened is that, you know, people are showing up on dates and saying, you know, I'm looking for a relationship. What do you want? Are you in? And really hardballing each other right from the get-go. And while the idea of trying to be in alignment with people who are in the same place as you is well-intended.
Yes.
It doesn't ensure that person's going to be in alignment, right? Just by hardballing someone, forcing them to say are you in or out, doesn't necessarily say that that's what's going to happen. The second problem with that is people are forgetting to be fun and flirty.
Yeah.
This is why, like,
Like enjoying the process. It's like let's say you're making a dinner and then the timer just pops out. They're wanting the result instead of enjoying the journey. So I think that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. How about you?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I meant by recalibration, is that there's a balance with it. And, you know, I think everyone got so serious during this time. And what's coming to me and with a lot of clients is that people want to just learn how to have fun.
Yes.
And for some people, they never had it even before the pandemic happened. And so that's why I love doing these flirt workshops, because it really is about play or deep play, as you said in the beginning. It's all about how can we let go and stop being in our heads. That's another thing that's happening. How can we be more present and in our bodies and connect with each other? Because that's when you get to see who's right or wrong for you, not by checking off your checklist.
I agree with you. So I have a question. What is your kind of, I don't know how much time you have, I want to be respectful of time. I wanted to ask about the age difference in both sexes. Mm. Do we have time to do a little bit of a dive on your perspective? Sure.
Yeah. And in what aspect?
Should I do a personal share? Is that more fun?
I love it. Of course.
So I literally, my mom, bless her heart, Barb, if you're going to listen to this, in 2020, even before there were vaccinations, she's like, Denise, you are in your prime. You're taking great care of yourself. You should be out there dating. I'm like, Mom, we're in a pandemic. I'm a single mom. I gotta be careful of health. So, but Barb is like, you know, my mom just like wants to see me eventually fall in love again. And by the way, I've been in 28 years total monogamous relationships. I know how to be in love. I know how to do monogamy and like all that really well as well. So my strategically single, here we go. And my mom's like, you should get out there. So I finally get out there. I do like a screening. Like I really connected on an intellectual, spiritual level, multidimensional level with this doctor from another country, from Egypt. He and I spoke for hours and we were so excited to meet. We talked about safety, his job, everything. And I'm an intuitive. So before, and maybe I'm just going to make my own rules with dating, but sometimes I just need to be honest and true at what I see. And I called it out. I said, I know what's going to happen. We're going to have chemistry. By the way, he was like 15 years younger and he didn't want to have children. I already adopted my son. So I did all like the kind of things that you would look at, like the bigger strokes, not the hardballing, but what's in general that you're looking for. Are you looking for romance plus connection plus chemistry, all the pillars? So he was meeting all of those, but I thought, oh no, his parents will not approve. And I was right. So we actually fell in love for real. It was like really lovely. But then he was going to get disowned if he was going to be with someone of a different age range. And also they wanted grandchildren. So I'm going to be honest with you. I love love no matter what. And I believe that that situation gave me hope that someone could have many dimensions to play in my same playground. But I don't know if you want to, I don't want to make this about only about me, but how this broadens out to what you're seeing.
Yeah. And I think some of what you're speaking about, and this is really important too, and it relates to even the hardballing, is that most people don't really know what they want. When I ask that question, you know, when I first, you know, have a free call with somebody and I'm trying to understand like the support that they need, I'll ask that question, you know, like if you had a magic wand in your hand and you could wave it in the air, what is it that you really want? I'd say 90% of the people can't really tell me. They say what they think that they want or what society says that they want. But when I really do a deep dive into the layers, it's not at all what they want. And a lot of times people have trouble just saying, yeah, I just want to date, or I just want to have sex, or yeah, that like young thing over there, that would be cool for a couple of years, you know, and it's okay, you know, but I think that's the first question to ask is, where are you at in your journey?
Yes.
And what's your, you know, what is it that is maybe missing or that you need to learn to help you as part of the process, you know? And people don't look at love that way. I think it's very black and white, although I think it's changing, you know? So in ways of the age difference, I think it speaks to that because there's no right or wrong when it comes to age. It's simply what is working for you and what are the benefits and what's not a benefit for you with all that.
No, I agree. It's like a strategy. I get it. And I know that, can we just be super direct? And I'm not saying women aren't visual, but men are highly visual. So if you are basically in your prime, you're dressing right, you're looking cute, you're doing all your flirting, I still think, and I don't want to be disrespectful because I did shows on agelessness, age is just a number, but I still think there's a double standard. And I don't know if you agree or disagree, but my point is I think that when you're taking good care of yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and you know you want to attract what you want to attract, you just like you're managing your financial portfolio, you need to look at your age, your time, how much time you want to spend with your child, how much you want to with yourself, if you're single, and you need to be realistic. So I've gotten very precise at flirting, but asking the right questions. And then I don't even spend the time meeting someone because I don't want to. I find sharing my body incredibly sacred. And it doesn't mean I've never gone on a date that doesn't turn into a boyfriend, because of course that's part of dating and fun. But I like to just really share that inner, really serious flirt with someone that I believe is going to have the potential of what I'm looking at now. So I think we're talking about awareness. And I love when men are like, nope, I am not into anything that could develop into anything. I'm just into this. I love when people tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And I like what you pointed out, that sometimes people don't even know what their truth is. I feel like that's a very important comment that you made just recently.
Yeah, I've an interesting another story. I like talking in stories because it, you know, it exemplifies, I think, what a lot yes. of people can relate to. And there's a woman, to your point, like all the things that you're saying, just you listening to this, you can hear Denise saying things that are very intentional. Like you have clarity around where you're at in that moment when you're trying to attract whatever it is and in your stories. Well, yes. The woman that I had encountered, this is a couple of years ago, I met her through another, there was another dating program that she was in, and it was for people who wanted to get into long-term relationships. Here's the problem, and here was the rub, is that she was 45 years old and she never had a boyfriend and she never had sex.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was wow. banging her head against the wall because all the other women in there were getting boyfriends, blah, 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 and she wasn't getting anywhere. And I said, I have like a really simple, weird, stupid question. She's like, what's that? I said, what do you want? She's like, well, I want a boyfriend, you know, and I want to get married. I said, no. I said, right now, what is it that you really want? And she paused. She said, well, I'm scared to say it out loud. She came from a highly religious family, by the way. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I just feel weird saying it because it's not, I don't know, I feel guilty. I said, no, I know what you're thinking. I just want you to say it out loud. And finally, she just shouted out. She's like, I want sex. I just want sex. I'm like, yes, let's go get you some sex, girl. Like,
exactly.
Why are you trying to, like, fit a round peg in a square hole? You haven't ever even dated. You've never had sex. Why right. are you trying to get a boyfriend? You know, and I use this metaphor all the time. It's like somebody who is 5 years old trying to go into a PhD program and they haven't yes. even experienced kindergarten. I yes. said, honey, you need to go to kindergarten. You need to get some experience. So that's what we did. We got her sex. We made a plan. She got sex.
Oh my God, I love it.
I totally like was the happiest person ever. Her self-esteem went through the roof and then she started dating intentionally, blah, blah, blah.
Nice. It's a progression. So this, I know I just, I can't wait to be on your show and I want to do more shows, but
yes,
what if it's the opposite? Cause like if someone's experienced tantric sex, amazing sex, once you reach a certain, I believe from my own personal experience, I feel incredibly blessed with like the ability to fall in love, the ability to really like step into loving my own body. I will tell you, I don't know what age you were when you got out of your aha red dress moment. It doesn't even matter age. I found out my body was a Lamborghini at age 39. I did not know I was a Lamborghini. And I didn't know that until I fell in love with someone that created sacred space, adult play, mm-hmm. in such an exceptional way that it was healing, it was loving. And so I know what it's like to be the equivalent of a Lamborghini in a relationship. And I'm really blessed, you know, and that's why I'm strategically single, because I'm not settling. If you already know what it's like to have love and self-love and spirituality and growth, I'm okay with waiting. I'm actually so close to my higher power that I'm happy single. I'm like happier than ever. So what have you been seeing that too, that maybe at different ages, people have been fortunate to experience such high levels of love and that they're kind of being really intentional and strategic and being single?
Oh my God. I went out with an 85-year-old woman doing a Wingal session. You know, like it there's ages of no consequence. It depends where people are in the continuum of, you know, their love cycle. And and that can happen at any age, any time, any place, any ethnicity. And, you know, again, what I tell people, this isn't about your age. It's not about the man. It's about you. And when you look in the mirror and you have that like sexy confidence and you know what you got going on, and in your case, you look at yourself with the go-go boots and you're like, yeah, you know,
yes.
that is what
but I, but
that's
I didn't,
what attracts.
But I want to let you know, there was a time in medical school and for years that I was hiding my femininity because mm-hmm. I wanted to be respected for my brain. And yeah, I had all these situations where men were hitting on me all the different times. So I started wearing like potato sacks. of outfits because I was wanting people to like respect my intelligence. So I pretty much shut down a lot of my sexuality in my 20s and 30s based on wanting to be respected. And so I feel like that's another thing for people to embrace, like all these different dimensions.
I love that you said that because that's one of the things that comes up in my flirt workshop a lot. Women will say, you know, I want him to like me for me and my brains and my intelligence, not as a sexual object. That's a big thing, you know. And so that's what I'm saying. Like everyone has their own journey. And this is where like being a therapist just is really crucial because, you know, you look at the word flirting and sexuality and, you know, you think of it as kind of this like fluffy thing, but there's such deeper associations that we all have, especially as women, you know, and I work with men and women and I just find that there are gender differences in the way that we see ourselves, right?
All the guys told me like Denise, like this one guy's like Denise. Okay. I'm just going to be really honest with you. I love that you're an MD and you've been to India. But to be honest with you, when I meet with my friends, I'm going to talk about how hot Denise is. I'm not going to go straight away talking about her accomplishments. So then he sent me the funniest video on YouTube where like men were just like trying to like love that intel. By the way, I'm not saying that men don't appreciate intelligence. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it was really neat that I got like his perspective and he even sent me funny YouTube videos on it. Like,
It's so funny. And I, you know, and men have their thing too. This is why like the workshops I do are always co-ed because it's like, let's get everybody in the room together and talk about this stuff because we each have associations with each other. And we, like you said, you know, oh, well, men are so visual, but you know what? So are we. And in fact,
you're right.
This is funny. So I do an exercise in my workshop where I actually pulled a real profile from Bumble where the guy had vastly different pictures, right? And I put the really bad picture up and I said, okay, ladies, would you date him? It was like if they could throw tomatoes through the screen, they would, because you should see how mean these women were. Oh my God, gross. No, I never do that. Like it was awful, right? I put the second picture up. And he looked really handsome and they all had like their tail in between their legs. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess, you know, if I just saw that picture, yeah, I would go out with them. So look, here's the difference. We're all visual, but men in the first 30 seconds, they look at a woman and they determine whether or not they want to have sex with her. Okay.
Correct.
So it's correct.
I call it an emergency room triage.
Totally. But they can't help it. Like,
no, they can't because they're physiologically either going to get super turned on or not.
No, they can't help it.
So I would rather have that known. Like, that's good to know that right away, that you get that.
By the way, like, let's just be real. There's no woman in the world who doesn't want to secretly feel desired.
Oh, I love it. I think it's awesome.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So even the women who are like, I want him.
No, I want it all.
We still want it. Right.
Yeah.
So now women on the flip side, we'll be a little more forgiving, right? Like if he's bald and has a little tummy, but if he's dressed well and he looks successful, we'll give him a chance.
Correct.
So the end of the day, men look at sex and women look at success. And that's how I see it.
Yes.
And, you know, if we just call a spade and just say, look, this is the reality. We can't help it.
Yes.
Very caveman. And it's just, you know, we got to embrace it, but know that we have to like put our best self forward and feel good about ourselves and we'll attract what we want.
So Kimmy, I am like, we had so much fun just playing and getting to know each other. Can you let everyone know the different dimensions of number one, how they could work with you personally? Number two, your different workshops. Number three, all of your ways in the media you're contributing, because you're just doing so much for people. I'm just so grateful for you.
Oh my gosh. And you as well. I'm so grateful that we have this space. And see, there was a reason why we had all the power outages right before. We were just
Can I be honest with you?
Like lightning.
I have like five things I want to tell you that I can't tell you on the show. So anyways.
Oh my God, we'll talk after. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. Well, you can find me. Well, first of all, my podcast, which you are going to be on, is called The Charisma Quotient, and I can be found, you know, anywhere where you listen to podcasts. And my site is kimmyseltzer.com, and it's KIMMYSELTZER, like Alka-Seltzer.com. And actually, all my social media is at Kimmy Seltzer, pretty much. So you can get a hold of me there. And the workshop that's coming up, as I talked about it before, is February 11th, and it is co-ed. It is interactive. So we're doing a combination of, you know, kind of some presentation, but also a little bit of practice as well. And it's just super fun. I've been doing these a couple times, and you're going to learn everything from conversation tricks to body language signals that you can send to the opposite sex. And of course, the image, you know, getting a great dating image that's part of the flirting style. So, yeah, I hope you can join me. You can go to either my site, you can find it there, or flirtlikeapro.tv. You can sign up there directly as well.
Okay, great. Well, this show is going to launch sometime this weekend or early week. And I'm so grateful for our time and our laughter. And also, just it's so nice when you're helping people to not only realize their own self-love, but to attract the love they're looking for in that moment.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Make sure to play and flirt.